Talking about hope these few weeks, and this morning we want to talk about hope when it hurts. C.S. Lewis once said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Elbert Hubbard says, "If you suffer, thank God. It is a sure sign that you are alive." So if you needed a good perspective on suffering and pain, there's one. If it hurts, that means you're alive. And Helen Keller, a very familiar name, I'm sure. "The world is full of suffering," she said. "It is also full of overcoming it." And her words have special significance and weight because indeed she was one such example of an overcomer amidst the suffering. Pain and suffering, I think we know, comes in a variety of forms. We've all had to deal with maybe more than our share, we sometimes think, of various levels of personal pain, and we may very well be enduring and working through some pain in our lives right now. And everything that the Bible says concerning hope, which we bring front and center, applies to all the levels of pain in the human experience. And while this may not be quite as intense as a serious illness or a family tragedy, I believe that there is a level of pain that probably all of us are enduring these days. I'm thinking of the fact that we're about 4 years into the longest economic downturn of modern times, and no matter what the experts say, we don't really know when we're going to pull out of this thing. We have witnessed unparalleled natural disasters and upheaval among nations. And so there's kind of an apocalyptic ring to some of the things that are happening around us. And that certainly generates a level of anxiety and concern. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we say that we have some of that in our lives as well. And it has a negative impact upon us. The longer that it drags on, the more it can very easily contribute to a sense of hopelessness. Are things not ever going to get any better? And it's very easy to get caught up in those things. And so for those reasons, I think it's that important that we take a look at biblical hope. That's why I wanted us to bring that front and center, because that's the backdrop of the times that we live in. And those things can drag us down if we're not careful. We absolutely need to take a sharper, clearer look at the biblical hope that is set before us. And so that is my passion and my burden as I share these messages with you. Yeah, there are some difficulties around us, but let's get focused on the hope that is set before us as believers, because that's the one real sure thing anyway. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so let's take another look this morning at hope. And I'd like to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4, very important verse, really concerning all of Scripture, all of the Bible. And in fact, we just looked at this in our Sunday school class a little bit ago. Kind of interesting that this would be emphasized twice. Romans 15, verse 4. And notice what it says. This is the overall plan and purpose of all of Scripture, these ancient words that we consider. The writer says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have," there's that word hope, "that we might have hope." So whatever has been written in earlier times, whatever is preserved of these ancient words for us, whatever has been written down and preserved for us, it has been written for our instruction. Well, of course, we know that every time we open up Scripture, every time we come together on Sunday mornings, we expect to be instructed in the Word of God, and there's a real purpose in that instruction, that through perseverance or endurance and the encouragement of Scriptures, then that we might have hope. So really, all of Scripture is about hope. It's about focusing on that future hope for us, keeping us focused on that, and encouraging us along the way as we are instructed. That's a very important perspective that we have about the Bible and Scripture, because sometimes we wonder about the message of hope as we read various passages. You know, I sometimes think that the Bible's a lot like the pieces of a puzzle that are spread out on a table. And you look at all those pieces and you kind of wonder how they all fit together. You may pick up one of those pieces and look at it. It's kind of an interesting shape. And you look at the colors and so forth and you wonder how it all fits together. And I think sometimes Scripture is like that. There are passages of Scripture that are like the pieces of a puzzle and you wonder how exactly does that fit. And as an example is Leviticus. I don't spend a lot of time in Leviticus. That's a tough book for me. That's one of those kind of odd pieces that doesn't seem to fit in, you know? I'll read. I knew a man years ago said that was his favorite book of the Bible. I thought that's strange. I've never heard anybody else say that. But it is a difficult book for me because when I read through all those various sundry laws and procedures that God established about things like how to check for leprosy and other skin diseases and the fact that you're not supposed to take two different kinds of material when you make a garment and all those kinds of things, it looks like one of those odd puzzle pieces that you're not quite sure where it fits in. But it does fit. It is a part of the whole. Because again, as we just read, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. So again, the goal of all of Scripture, whatever passage we read, it is to instruct us. It is to encourage us to hang in there, to develop endurance for that great purpose that we might have hope, because hope is the ultimate goal. If you'll back up to chapter 5, the first five verses, we want to really zero in on those verses and what they have to say to us concerning this subject of hope. Beginning in verse 1 in chapter 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult," or we rejoice, "in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Romans can be a challenging book also to study and to read. It's very important to break down the various phrases, especially in a passage like this, to make sure we understand each phrase and understand the overall message, and in this case concerning hope, to make sure that we really grasp what the Apostle Paul is saying as he writes these words. So he begins with this phrase, "Therefore, having been justified by faith." Justified. What do we understand the word justified to be? Maybe you'd like to shout out your phrase or definition of justified. What does justified mean to us? Anybody?
Made right.
Made right? Exactly. Someone has said you can look at it as just as if I had never sinned. So we've been justified or made right by faith. And it says we have peace with God then through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we no longer have a dispute with God. God no longer has a dispute with us. We have peace with God, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty basic. We understand that. Through Jesus Christ, we're told here, whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. Our introduction by faith. So I think about the grace we've been introduced to. Grace meets Steve, Steve meet grace. Sort of like that's how it begins. We meet somebody or something for the first time. That's what he's talking about here. We've been introduced by faith into the grace in which we stand. There certainly is a great basis for hope that we stand in God's unmerited favor. God loves us because he wants to love us through his son Jesus, who has covered us by faith. And so it says we exult in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope that we have of the glory of God that's going to be revealed one day, because we expect to see God face to face. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus says, for they shall see God. We have that hope. We anticipate looking at Him face to face. One day God comes to a renewed planet Earth, and we will look at Him face to face. Revelation 21, verse 3 says that He will dwell among them, among us, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And so we expect to see the glory of God. We have that hope in that. But then it goes on to say, not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. That's where I put on the brakes and pause for a moment. It's one thing to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but to rejoice in tribulation, that's one of those very difficult themes in Scripture. To be able to rejoice amidst the pain and the difficulties that we go through, But in Christ, we have found that there is a new meaning to the sufferings that we go through. In fact, Paul tells us there's a process here, so vitally important to each one of us. Tribulation, he says, brings about perseverance or endurance. Tribulation brings about that stick-to-itiveness. And I think that really tribulation or difficulty, pain, is a watershed for every individual. Because it either convinces us it's worth staying the course. It's worth going this direction and suffering as we are. We're saying, you know what, this is more than I expected, and we bail out. But I believe that tribulation is the watershed, and for the majority of us, we would say that that has produced for us endurance, that we are committed to staying the course, even though we might be in the midst of pain right now. And so tribulation brings about perseverance, and he says perseverance produces proven character. And so over time, we develop a reputation. We develop the reputation of being a steady individual. You know, no matter what comes into his or her life, they stay the course. They're known to be a proven individual of character that will go through thick or thin in the Christian life. And then Paul says, following that proven character then is hope, the very end of the process. And so the hard times build endurance. Endurance, Paul says, stabilizes character. And then ultimately, we are anchored literally in hope. A verse we shared last week, it's important to consider all along as we talk about hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And so that's what hope is supposed to be for us. Throughout the process of refining and developing our character, endurance and so forth, ultimately we arrive at hope, and hope indeed is an anchor for our souls. And it says here that hope does not disappoint. And why is it that hope doesn't disappoint, the last phrase here? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope is convincing. Hope is real because the Spirit of God within us reminds us and it assures each one of us of the hope that is set before us. So the bottom line of what I see Paul saying to us in these five verses here in Romans chapter 5 is that the process of grace, which is set in motion in our lives because of the sacrifice of Christ, it is in the process of building character as we look forward to the full realization of our hope, namely the coming of God to a renewed planet Earth. And Holy Spirit right now within each one of us is reminding us that all of these things are true. So, having said those things and considered those things, how does it help us amidst the pain? Because that's where the rubber really meets the road. We rejoice because the pain process is working for the good as we await the full realization of hope. And again, hope does not disappoint. But how does it work out on a day-to-day basis? That's a question I come back to repeatedly. It's when I look at the great teachings of Scripture, especially what we look at here, how's that work out in my day-to-day experience? I was thinking about a particular example recently, the plight of somebody I know in another state that stated in some desperation some thoughts on Facebook. Yeah, I spent some time there, not too much, but I spent some time there. This individual wrote these words. I thought they were important to share with you as you consider hope amidst the pain. If the Lord won't give us more than we can handle, why don't I have a job? I don't think I can handle this lack of employment much longer. I think I've got more than I can handle already, and the bills keep coming. And the prospective employers keep saying no. How much more can I take? This is a believer that wrote those words. An individual that believes in the authority of Scripture. An individual that believes in the hope of the coming kingdom of God. But do you note the sense of desperation? Here's somebody who's having a lot of difficulty with hope in their Christian life, and a lot of people are in that same boat. As I read this individual's words, I thought about Job, the ultimate example of suffering and yet keeping hope amidst the suffering. As Job wrote such things as, "Why did I not die at birth? Oh, that my grief were actually weighed and laid in the balance together with my calamity." Wow, that's descriptive. "For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. I loathe my own life." Wow, that's Job. Sounds like a pretty depressed individual. Sounds like somebody who's lost hope. Sounds a little bit like our friend that wrote on Facebook. And yet that's not all that Job wrote. I especially love this, chapter 19, verses 25 and 26. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. And even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. That's the perspective Job maintained. He kept hope, even in times that seemed like great despairs. I think about our friend that wrote on Facebook. I thought about what different people wrote, and many of them sounded like pat answers. They sound like the kinds of things that we say to someone in a situation like that. The pain was obvious, and reminding that individual of those basic things that we consider here. And indeed, those are the things that apply amidst the pain, whether our situations like that individual or pains in another form. The bottom line is that we do stay the course, that we do persevere. And we know that as we persevere, we are developing character amidst all of that. And we know that as character is being developed, that hope becomes much more clearly in focus. And so hope is set before us, and even though circumstances are difficult, we do not lose sight of the hope before us. Again, as Romans 15, verse 4 reminded us as we started out looking, that we realize that everything that is written in Scripture is designed to give us hope. And so because of that, we go back to the Word of God, especially during the difficult times. We read it. We study it regularly. That's the reason why we preach it and teach it and hear it taught and preached on Sunday mornings, because we know that we want to have that hope cultivated and firmed up in our lives. That's why we do those things. And as Paul said, hope does not disappoint. We dare not lose sight of that perspective. Hope does not disappoint us. As I thought about even the potential of hope disappointing, the unthinkable circumstance for me would be on resurrection morning in a brand new body that will never die, never wear out, never experience pain or any of the problems right now, to be able to stand there that day and savor the new life and say, you know, this just isn't as good as I thought it would be. It's absolutely unthinkable for me that I would be disappointed with hope. I cannot imagine living life on a brand new, renewed planet Earth, free from all the problems we have right now, and all the pollution and everything associated with a fallen world, and take a look around and drink it all in and say, I somehow thought it would be better than this. I cannot imagine it. Hope does not disappoint. The great thing about hope is that it will deliver far more things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, things which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, 1 Corinthians 2:9. And so when we think about the fact that hope does not disappoint, we don't know the half of it or the smallest percentage of it, the things that God has prepared. And so if hope is being set before us, made more clearly in focus, we still don't even have a very clear picture of the hope that God has for us. So again, we come back to Paul's words. We look up. We stay the course. We cultivate the steady character that is designed for us so that we could be most focused upon hope. And we savor the grace of God and the love of God through the Spirit that is within us right now. Again, those things probably do not come as anything new to you as I share them today, but you know, it's a joy to have had the opportunity to remind you of those things and to remind myself of those things, because this is the stuff that really matters as we look forward to what God has for us.